Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Today's topic is going to be the wide receiving core of LSU. Yeah, that's right. The wide receivers for the LSU football team for 2021. I'm going to go over that in detail about all the guys coming back, and I think it's going to be one of the best groups in a long time for LSU. I say long time. Every year it's been good at wide receiver, but I think the group is as deep as it's ever been. We'll go over that. We'll talk a little bit of baseball, college baseball. I've been watching a lot of college baseball, like a lot of people in Omaha. Go over some of the teams. Man, the pitching is unbelievable. And I think the listeners would agree. There are some phenomenal pitchers in Omaha right now. And we've seen a bunch of them all through the regionals. I don't know if I've ever remember seeing this many great pitchers that are starting in baseball games. I mean, the future of Major League Baseball is going to be phenomenal. And this is not every pitcher, right? These are just the pitchers that made it on great teams. There's some great pitchers that were on bad teams. You didn't get to see them in the regionals or Omaha. We're going to talk about that as well. We're also going to talk about Ben Simmons. What he needs to reach his potential, which is something that we all saw at LSU. Wasn't a big shooter. Didn't have range. We thought that would come in time, and it hasn't. We'll talk about college football. I might be able to get a little bit of time in today on some of the other colleges going into the fall, how good some of these teams can be in Louisiana, like a Tulane, a Louisiana Tech, a ULM of Monroe, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to go ahead, and I want to mention our sponsors before we get going. Before we start talking about LSU wide receivers, I want to thank our sponsor, John Harvey Toyota, out of Bossier City in Shreveport. If you're looking for a used car, Harvey Autos has three dealerships, which means three times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Tell them Lee sent you. And also, a great sponsor that we have now is Medin's Collision. Medin's Collision in Baton Rouge, located on Kincaid Avenue, family-owned since the 1960s, Chris Medin, Domenica Medin, and their son Jesse Medin, the operations manager. Give them a call if you have any work that needs to be done on your car or truck, you know, paint, if you got in a wreck. There's been a lot of those lately with all this rain and Louisiana. That's Medin's Collision Center on Kincaid Avenue in Baton Rouge. The number to call is 225 area code 357-7983. That's 357-7983. Take your vehicle to Medin's Collision Center. Great people, family owned. Let's get started about the LSU football wide receiver core. It's going to be a deep spot, I think. And here's my take on the wide receivers. You know, LSU's always had some good receivers. If you go all the way back to when I was growing up watching LSU, Carlos Carson, they had a guy by the name of him and Orlando McDaniel, and then, you know, after that they had a guy by the name of Wendell Davis, Tony Moss. You know, you had early Doucette, Dwayne Bowe, Craig Davis. And then you had Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, James Wright, you know, and then recently you've got Jamar Chase, Terrace Marshall, that did a great job, and Justin Jefferson, and then Racy McMath. It's another great group, right? We're not talking about tight ends today, just wide receivers. And so you've got a group last year that was really one guy, you know, Butte. Kashawn Butte out of Westgate High School in New Iberia, who had over a 300-yard game against Ole Miss. Him and Max Johnson lit up Ole Miss in Tiger Stadium. this past year, which I thought was shocking. I thought Ole Miss was going to really put about 100 on LSU, but LSU was able to survive that game, outscore them, and they intercepted five passes on Ole Miss's quarterback, which I thought was pretty good too. But, you know, what a great player to build around. Butte's going to be an All-American, I think. He's going to be probably a first-round pick when he's done. Probably be gone in 3 years. So he's got 2 years left, I would think. He could play three more, right, because he's only a freshman. I think he gets a year back, like all these kids do from COVID. But here's my take on the receiving corps. Butte's going to probably be double-teamed this year. That's what happens when you get a name and you start dominating people. And he's about 6 foot tall, about 185, 190 pounds. He's kind of built like a Jarvis Landry type, a little taller. Jarvis is about 5'11". But I think some guys are going to have breakout years. I saw some talent in the spring game, like a lot of us. Deion Smith, the redshirt freshman from Jackson, Mississippi, I think is going to be a phenomenal player. Deion's about 6'3", goes about 205, maybe 210 for the fall, runs 4.45, got the speed, showed a little bit of that ability in the spring game. And, you know, they didn't really try to show everything in the spring game with the passing game. So it leads me to believe you're going to see a lot more play action and deep balls thrown and underneath that you didn't see as much in the spring game. But when you see Butte, Deion Smith, and J-Ray Jenkins is going to be a great player for LSU from Gina. I thought J-Ray against Florida was stepped up big time when LSU didn't have hardly a whole team. Where they had about 30 players or 40 players travel to Florida and win that game, which was very impressive. Considering they had a Heisman Trophy candidate in Kyle Trask, the quarterback at Florida. Florida was kind of in on maybe doing a lot of great things too. LSU ruined their season. But J-Ray Jenkins is 6'4", about 200 pounds, and he can really go. And he's got good hands. He's getting better and better and better. We've seen flashes of brilliance from him. And by the way, another player that was at LSU that was a great receiver was DJ Chark, who played at Winfield High School and Alexandria High School. Coy Moore is going to be a great receiver from Archbishop Rummel. Played as a true freshman this past year, about 5'11", 6 foot, about 185. Built similar to Butte. I think he hasn't shown everything in his arsenal. I think he's a player that can do a lot in space. He's got good speed. But here's the sleeper in the group. It's Brian Thomas, who they just signed out of Walker High School. Brian Thomas. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about the LSU wide receivers for 2021. We're going to continue with Brian Thomas from Walker High School, a signee, a freshman. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I hope you're enjoying the show. Our topic today is LSU wide receivers. We'll talk a little college baseball later in the show and maybe some other college teams in the state to talk about how good they might be this coming year. But let's get back to wide receivers. Brian Thomas, who's a freshman, incoming freshman from Walker High School, is one of the best big receivers, tall receivers I've ever seen come out of high school in Louisiana. I thought Michael Clayton was one of the best I've ever seen. Reuben Randall was pretty good too. Big guys, you know, that can spread defenses, that can go legitimately underneath, can do it all. He's got great hands. Brian Thomas goes about 6'4". They list him 6'5". He might be close to 6'5". He weighs about 200 pounds. We'll probably play around 205. We'll probably be about 220 when he's a junior. He'll look like Megatron when he's finished. He brings something to the LSU football team they don't have, and that's a big, tall receiver that's tough to guard. But think of all this talent at receiver, Butte, Coy Moore, J-Ray Jenkins, who I think is going to be an NFL player, Brian Thomas. Another sleeper to this unit is Jontre Kirkland really showed me a lot in the spring game, and he showed me a lot later in the year this past season. The former quarterback from Lutcher High School, I think, is going to do some damage this year. He's going to be a Russell Gage for LSU this year. He's that guy that could be that third or fourth receiver. He can play the slot. He's fast. He's starting to put it together. The stars are aligned for Jontre Kirkland. This is a guy that has stayed the 5 years and is starting to pay off. And he's a homegrown kid. He loves the school. But Kirkland is a guy that people really don't expect him to do a lot this year, and he's a guy I think will. And don't forget about Trey Palmer from Kentwood. My bet here is Trey Palmer is going to be your full-time punt returner, and probably kick returner, and that's going to be his specialty. He's got world-class speed, runs about a 10, 400 meters, a legit 4.340. You know, Trey is had some injuries last year, didn't play much in 220. But we saw his ability in 219, what he was capable of when he got on the field as a freshman. He's 6'1", about 185 now. He came in about 170 when he signed with LSU out of Kentwood High School. But Trey Palmer's a guy that could explode on the scene. This is how deep this wide receiving core is. Here's a guy that is probably fourth team, right? But I think he'll, like I said, I think he could be the starter and stay happy being a punt return, full-time guy, kickoff return guy. And look, we saw him score a touchdown, you know, last year in limited time. He scored, went all the way on a punt. And I think he could do several of those. He could end up being one of the best punt returners in the country. And then you have Alex Adams from Osaka, Mississippi, who was a freshman last year, played a little bit. He's about 6 foot, about 190. He's got good speed. He's a good player. He was one of the top 20 players in Mississippi a year ago. That's Alex Adams. And then you have Devontae, who's moved back from linebacker to receiver, is another guy to look for who's going to have a great year. I think he could play that flex position, kind of like Moss. He's about 220, 225, about 6'2". And he runs a 4.6. I mean, he's a very talented player. I think LSU tried to make him a linebacker, and instinctively that's just not his spot. It's not that he's not good enough. I saw him play at a meet. And I could see the same thing in high school. His receiver spot was his spot, even though he played a little DN linebacker for A-Meet. But Devontae is the guy that's got great hands, and he can run, and he's tough. He's muscled up. He can take the hits. He can block. So there's another player, I mean, to look for. This is his third year in the program, Devontae. And finally, you have Malik Nabers, an incoming freshman from, they say, Southside, where he didn't play. He transferred there his senior year. He didn't get to play. He's from, really, Como High School in Lafayette. A great player. He's about 6'1", about 200 pounds, 198. Great hands, great speed. I think he's going to end up being a defensive back in the future. They don't need him at DB right now, but I think he'll move to DB and be a starting corner in 2022. That's just my thoughts. And one other guy. A big-time guy to finish talk about wide receiver. We're gonna talk about him, Jack Besh, when we come back. He's a guy that's going to be a kind of a slot guy, flex tight end, but more of a receiver to start out. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm Lee Burkeen, your host. We're going to be right back. Take a quick break. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has three dealerships, which means three times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts
to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City.
Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. We're going to continue talking about the wide receiving core of LSU football. One more guy to talk about is Jack Besh, incoming freshman from St. Thomas More High School. If you've heard any of our shows going back to this past summer for 220, a year ago, I was bragging about Jack Besh, and I really think this kid's special. You know, I was one of these guys before he was ranked and before anybody really talked about him. I was talking about him probably almost 2 years ago. Here's a kid that's about 6'2", weighs about 220, 215 in weight, no fat, can run. He's probably going to run more like a 4.55, 4.6, but he looks 4.4 on the field, and he's aggressive. I heard Shaquille O'Neal the other day on TV talked about being aggressive. Don't worry about doing this well or that well. Just be aggressive. Play with a lot of energy and heart. That's what this kid does. And he's got great hands. And when you have great hands and you have size and you know how to run, you're going to be able to play in this league soon, and that's Jack Besh. Jack's going to be able to catch some balls for LSU. And look, losing Eric Gilbert, when you have Devontae moving back to receiver and you have Jack, they're both around 220 in weight, 215, then you've really got a couple of flex guys that can play receiver slash, I call it hybrid tight end, where you're not 250, 260, but you're good enough to block, you're big enough to block, and you're quick enough to be a mismatch for a linebacker. And so LSU's got a unique group of guys this year. We're going to look back and say, man, what a great unit. And here's the reason I think the receiving core is going to do so well, too. Not just because it's deep. You've got an experienced offensive line coming back at LSU. You have a quarterback coming back that's a veteran, whether he starts or not, Miles Brennan. Then you have a guy by the name of Max Johnson who's got experience. And you're going to have a better running game. You've got an older version of Ty Davis. You've got John Emery that we'll see if he can stay healthy for a year from Destrehan. And then you got these freshman running backs coming in, Kiner from Cincinnati, Ohio, and Amani Goodwin from Alabama, who was all world committed to Auburn at one time and reminds me of Kevin Falk. You have some good backs, and you've got backs coming in that are going to help the running back position. So you got this experienced O-line. You got a quarterback, depending on who they're going to start. I think it'll be Max Johnson, where this wide receiving group's going to catch a lot of balls. You're going to have time to throw. The run game's going to take the pressure off the pass game. It's going to open it up. The tight ends, we'll talk about them another day, but you still got some good tight ends with Cole Taylor and some of these guys we mentioned today that could play flex and play on the line. I think Jack Mashburn's going to be a great tight end who came in as a walk-on, former quarterback from St. Paul's in Covington, Jack Mashburn. But I really love this wide receiving core of LSU. Like I said, there's been some great groups over the years. There's been some really, really, really good groups of receivers at LSU. They talk about LSU being DBU. And I'm going to tell you what, wide receiver U is pretty close. They've put some big-time receivers in the NFL. Heck, even Demetrius Byrd was a great receiver. He just got hurt, and his career was over. You know, he got in a wreck the day before the draft. Remember Demetrius Byrd catching that great pass over Auburn to get LSU in the national championship? If they lose that game against Auburn at home, they're not going to play for a national title that year. The last-second throw that was in the end zone that he caught with time over. I mean, Demetrius Byrd was a great talent. I mean, we could talk about receivers all day long for LSU. There's been some, Russell Gage was not even a starter for most of his career. Look what he's doing in Atlanta now. Russell Gage, a hometown kid from Baton Rouge, played at Redemptorist High School, Same school that produced Lyle Collins and Jeremy Hill and Shelton Sampson, who, by the way, is the father of Shelton Sampson Jr., who plays at Catholic High Baton Rouge. Speaking of receivers, he's going to be only a junior, 6 foot four, 205 pounds, and runs a 4.440. Shelton Sampson Jr., right at Catholic High in Baton Rouge. His dad, Shelton Sampson, was a running back at Redemptorist, and he was 6 foot tall, 5'11", about 220. Built very opposites for father and son. But Shelton was a power back at Redemptorist and went to Northwestern State where he played college ball. So that's going to be another future receiver probably from LSU. But this group's got a chance to be outstanding. It's got a chance because Boutte, again, is going to be double-teamed, especially against UCLA that's got some great DBs. I want to talk about UCLA when we come back, and then we'll talk a little college baseball. We're going to take a quick break.
So, hey, guys, just wanted to take a minute to tell you about Harvey Autos. If you need a new or used car, there's three great dealerships right here worth checking out. John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, and Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Low prices, honest people, tell them Lee sent you.
Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. We've been talking about LSU wide receivers for the 2021 season. Let's go ahead and talk about the opponent. The first opponent for LSU is UCLA. You know, when I was growing up, and a lot of our listeners were growing up in the 70s and 80s, UCLA was a powerhouse. Man, they had Gaston Green at running back. They had Irv Eatman. They had Troy Aikman at quarterback. They had Rick Neuheisel was a coach and a quarterback there. Kenny Easley was one of the best safeties to ever come out of UCLA in the country. They had Jonathan Ogden. Remember Jonathan Ogden? He's in the Hall of Fame now with the Baltimore Ravens, offensive tackle, 6'8", 320. They used to get players from all over the country. They're not doing that now. Chip Kelly, the former Oregon coach, this is his fourth year. This is the year he's got to do well or they're going to let him go. LSU plays UCLA in California, week one. And I've studied UCLA. I watched them a little bit last year. They're improved. It's not the old UCLA. It's not LSU playing a top 10 program. It's not a top 25 program. They do have a good quarterback in Thompson. This is his third year. He's a dual-threat guy. They do have some good skill receivers and running backs. They're all transferred-in guys. They're all portal guys. But here's where UCLA's weak, and this is where LSU should dominate them. They don't have a good O-line, and they don't have a good D-line. They have a great defensive end. They have a defensive end coming back that had about 14 sacks, but defensive tackle, They can hardly field a unit of starters at D-tackle. That's how weak they are on D-tackle. Inside, LSU should dominate them. And on the offensive line, they got really one good offensive lineman coming back. And it's not really a good offensive line. So LSU's offense and defensive line should be the story of the game. They should dominate UCLA there. But UCLA has great defensive backs, so LSU needs to be able to run the ball, which they should. And I would think LSU should run for over 300 yards over UCLA. I really believe that. Now, UCLA will probably stack the box like all colleges do, but it's still, this is not a very good UCLA defensive line. Now, they have got some good linebackers, not a great unit, but a good unit. They've got four DBs that are really good. That's the strength of their team. And they've got two really good tight ends. They got a couple of good receivers, and they got a couple of good running backs, and they got a good quarterback. He's not overly big guy, about 6 foot one, about 190. When I say dual threat, he's a guy that can run if needed, but he'll sit in the pocket and he can throw the ball now. But LSU has some great, this is the best I've seen LSU at corner in years. But Ricks, Stingley, Jay Ward, are you kidding me? These corners? And now you've got a redshirt freshman, McLaughlin from Texas, that makes LSU four deep at corner. Dwight McLaughlin, who looks phenomenal, actually, had a phenomenal spring game. I do think Tulane's going to surprise everybody this coming year. People are not high on Tulane. I think really Fritz and his team's got a good team coming back. I think Tulane's going to be really good. I think they're going to become a great team. Don't sleep on them. They got a couple of quarterbacks that are super talented. Ibieta, the kid from Country Days, coming up, and they've got the sophomore coming back from Florida who's really good. And they've got some really good running backs, and they got a pretty good old D-line. They're just young. They got some good transfer portal guys coming in. I think Tech will be better than they've been in the last 2 years. I don't know how good Tech will be, Louisiana Tech. They need to get that quarterback position strong again. That's what's made them so good. They had Jeff Driscoll transfer in from Florida a few years ago, and they've had some good quarterbacks. But they need to – maybe Holstein will take the job as a freshman. Maybe Holstein will be the guy from St. Thomas More High School in Lafayette. We're going to take a break when we come back for one more segment. Let's talk a little college baseball. We'll be right back.
Parents, are you looking for advice on getting your high school athlete recruited by the right college? Lee Brekeen is your answer. Lee has been doing it for over 30 years. He knows the ropes, and more importantly, he knows the people. Lee offers turnkey service from evaluation, creating highlight tapes in the correct format, and complete guidelines for effective communication with the schools. No matter the sport, girl or boy, no matter what grade your child is in, let Lee Brekeen help match your child to the right college fit. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com, and get connected today.
Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Our topic this segment is going to be the LSU baseball job. You know, Bianco, we all thought he would take the job, but he's deciding to stay at Ole Miss, which I think is good. I think LSU interviewed him. He's a former LSU catcher. I think that was the thing to do. You know, it's the most respectful thing to do is you got to interview an ex-LSU player that's a coach, right? He's been at Ole Miss for 21 years. Let's face it, Ole Miss is happy if they go to Omaha every 3 years. And he needs to stay there. He could stay there for another 10 years, retire, you know, maybe try and get him to Omaha, you know, 4 or 5 more times in the next 10 years. And they'll be happy at Ole Miss. Here's who I want LSU to hire. I want O'Connor from Virginia. The more you watch his teams play, the more you like this guy. And I've been watching these Virginia teams now. This is their 5th appearance in the College World Series, I think, in the last 7 years. Let's face it. It's got to be hard to recruit at Virginia. This is not Florida. It's not LSU. It's not Vandy. It's not Mississippi State. It's Virginia. It's not even North Carolina or Florida State or Miami in the ACC. It's Virginia. And he produces big-time pitchers. They compete, and he develops. And what do we haven't seen lately at LSU? We haven't seen guys develop in baseball. If you want to get up there with Vandy and you want to be one of the top powers in the country again, you got to develop your players, and you got to sign, obviously, some great players like Bregman and, you know, guys like Todd Walker. You got to get a guy like that every 5 or 10 years. But you got to have a great pitching staff, and I think everybody who is watching the World Series, including me, we're seeing how LSU, they really couldn't hang with these teams in Omaha. You know, teams like Mississippi State, Virginia, Stanford even, who lost, Texas even, who lost, Vandy, they just got great deep pitching staffs. I mean, they can throw guy after guy, and it throws 94, 95, 96, 97. Vandy has about 12 pitchers that can throw 95. Even Arizona has about 10 pitchers that can throw 95, 94. And they have a loss to Vandy. I thought Arizona would win it all, and they still might come out of the loser's bracket. They're the best hitting team in the World Series. outside of Mississippi State. But look at all these great arms. It's not just one arm. It's not two or three. It's 7 to 10 to 12. And you look at great teams like Notre Dame that couldn't get in the Omaha. They didn't have enough pitching. They were like LSU. They had a great closer. They had a great starter on Friday night. They had an okay Saturday starter. Same thing with Miami. Same thing with the Gators this past year. The only team that did not make Omaha that had the pitching was Arkansas. Arkansas belonged in Omaha. They just could not get past North Carolina State, who had a lot of pitching. Yeah, North Carolina State had a lot of pitching. They have more pitching than LSU. Same conference Virginia's in, right? That ACC's a tough conference, man. Miami didn't make it. Florida State didn't make it. North Carolina didn't make it. But guess who made it? North Carolina State and Virginia. I want LSU to name O'Connor the next coach at LSU from Virginia, the University of Virginia. It's a tough place to recruit. And he's taken his team to Omaha 5 times out of the last 8 years, and they won a national championship. He did. They don't get a lot of national top 100 players. And look at the talent. Look at the pitching he has. He has tons of pitchers. He has a great lineup, and they hit enough. I mean, they're not the greatest hitting team, but, man, they shut Tennessee out 6-0. The same Tennessee team that beat LSU 5 times this past year. Virginia shut them out. It's coaching, development, and game day coaching. O'Connor, name him the coach. Let's get it over with. Wear the purple and gold hat, and let's start winning some games. Let's get back to Omaha. Corbin will probably not leave Vandy, right? And I would think LSU's talking to the pitching coach at Vanderbilt, who's going to be the next great coach. If that's a second hire on my list, I would go after the Vandy pitching coach. No one recruits better pitchers than Vandy all over the country. And he's the next coach in waiting for Corbin, who's almost 60. And you might say, Lee, why would you hire an assistant coach? Well, let's talk about Skip Bertman. Skip Bertman was never a head coach at a major D1 university. He was an assistant coach at Miami under Ron Frazier. The most experience Skip had was at a high school in Miami where he won a few state championships. So look at that. Look at Tim Corbin at Vandy. You might assume that he was a head coach somewhere. No, he was an assistant coach at Clemson. You can find the next great coach. You just got to have an eye for it. And I think it's the Vandy pitching coach. He's been there for a few years now under Corbin. He's ready to be the next guy. If Corbin was to retire, they would name this guy the head coach. That's what I would do. I know Godwin's a good coach at East Carolina. Really not my pick. Plus, he's from East Carolina, played for East Carolina. I think LSU can get a better coach. But I do like this O'Connor. I do like the Arizona head coach. I really do. I like him. I think he's done a great job, but he doesn't sign the elite players. And all his – look, he's got guys that can hit 300 from 1-9. And he's got some great arms. Heck, they're in Omaha, not UCLA. Not Oregon, not Arizona State, Arizona. I hope you enjoyed the show today. We look forward to doing more about key positions on college teams. I think people enjoy that, I would think, right? You got to enjoy talking about some of the players in college football, especially in Louisiana. And by the way, Mississippi State, their pitcher the other night, what an incredible performance over Texas. 15 strikeouts. This guy looked like Nolan Ryan on the mound. He's only a sophomore. Man, Mississippi State might win their first World Series. They might win it for the first time. I really think they got a chance because nobody thought they would be dominant pitching like this. We know they can hit. They've got some great hitters in their lineup. We knew they had a great closer. But, man, their Friday night starter threw 15 strikeouts. They weren't even touching the ball, these batters for Texas. And Texas came into the Omaha hot. Man. And their top starting pitcher, Madden, he's going to be one of the first five picks in the draft. He had 10 strikeouts. What a performance. This is one of the most dominant pitching performances in Omaha I've seen since Brett Laxton from New Jersey with LSU. Now, that was in the national championship game, but still, 15 strikeouts. My goodness. And that's only in about seven innings. We look forward to doing another show. I hope everybody enjoyed today. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.